Hello everyone, welcome to the Champman FPL preview for game week 9. How are we all doing? Just fresh off the double. It was an interesting double, an interesting game week. I enjoyed it. I was on the stream, so that was fun. Can't regularly commit to that anymore, unfortunately. Or I say anymore, I've never done the actual stream before, but putting too much time in. But it's nice to have a little cameo. And yeah, it was. Just, I suppose it was more fun because I was involved in that. Team didn't really do much personally. I can't remember what I got now, but in the end, it was okay. Like, it wasn't that bad. I think I was. I sort of looked on the same few pages where I was, and I think I was definitely one of the lowest scorers. But it wasn't much in it, if you know what I mean. Although a few teams, I think it was like the guy in eighth for like 150 points or something. So it just shows you the crazy swings that can happen with some differentials. In the end of the day, he had Lampard, who's got a double, and this is why we like the doubles, right? Even the players that we maybe is the, let's say, the top players then, but sounds a bit elitist, doesn't it? But wouldn't have considered him, but he's got a double when he plays for Chelsea, so you're running that that lottery risk there that he's going to do something, and it came up trumps. And likewise with Zenden, who is a good pick. Obviously when Carboni's 0.5 more, it's quite hard not to go with him when he's got the added promise of set pieces and penalties. But with Petit there, he seems to be taking a few of those, or more than we would have liked. I suppose Zenden is definitely an option that we should have considered. It's not really particularly hindsight. But the double defence was also very appealing, and they did get one clean sheet. So fair play to anyone who went for Zenden or anyone like that. Smashed it. Good job. And it just, if anything, we should take heart from the fact that, you know, going a bit off-piste or, you know, just thinking you can't catch up to someone in this game is very narrow-minded, because it can all change. Or it can all change. As you can see, that's like, I think the guy, I think it was like 150. I can't remember now that I'm looking, but it's something stupid. So he caught up like 70 or 80 points on me there. Have I got 70? I don't know. It's mental. So, yeah, it can happen, guys. It can happen. Anyway, let's move on to the preview. I haven't got long to record this one, so I'm going to fly through it. I'm conscious that I'm going to be repeating a lot of stuff on these previews, because we all know really now, I think, the good players and stuff like that. And the sim data tells the actual story. So it's just my gut feeling for some of the matches, and I'll try to keep it shorter in each one, not talk so much about specific players, but I'll end up rambling, no doubt. Right, Blackburn versus Leeds. Okay, so people will probably have some Blackburn players if they didn't free hit or whatever last week, or they'd either bought them in or they're on wild card. Now, Blackburn are at home, so anytime your player is at home, even in a tough fixture on paper, you know, they're still options, definitely. Blackburn are a decent side. I know they were dreadful in the double, but you shouldn't let that affect you. And interestingly, in this one, Blackburn basically will play the airplane in home matches where they've got all their players fit. The 3-4-1-2, that's what you should expect in nearly every home game that Blackburn play. That is their default formation with the players they've got. This can change to the 7-2-1 when a team they're playing has a high enough reputation. Now, I think Leeds are 18, they released it recently, so I don't know without simming myself whether that triggers the 7-2-1. It may do. But when they play the 7-2-1 at home, it's not as bad as what people think. In fact, they don't have as many of the defensive stuff ticked. In fact, it might just be normal with the 7-2-1 when they play at home rather than defensive. And actually, the 7-2-1 is a pretty good formation in this game, because it gives you some DMs, which not many of the AIs use at all, which are quite a powerful position for stopping goals. And it uses one striker, which again, the AI is better at having one striker up front than it is having two. So if they're using normal rather than defensive and it's a 7-2-1, don't just therefore assume, you know, they're not going to try and score. It's actually a pretty good setup. So airplane's good as well for attacking, obviously, and 7-2-1, as long as it's normal attacking, is decent as well. So I would expect Blackburn will score. You know, you can never not back a home team to score, really. I would have thought maybe one or two goals. The thing with Leeds is they've just got so many good offensive players. You know, away to Blackburn's not a great game in the calendar, but I'd got to back them for one or two goals too. So I think 2-2 seems pretty realistic. I think Leeds could just win 3-2, you know, 2-1. As well, obviously, hard to put Blackburn down as the winners, but there's probably going to be goals in this game, so I wouldn't immediately think you've got to transfer out your Blackburn players after a bad game week, because that would be the instinct. It could be a bit of a Christie one there, I think, for people who sort of removed him after some bad performances and he had a home game, you know, for good reason, definitely with doubles and stuff, so again, don't beat yourself up for that. But that's what I'm trying to say. I think that there could be good options in this game. And obviously Leeds options. I've got double Leeds attack, for example. Would I want double Leeds attack away to Blackburn? I mean, in this game week, maybe, because there's not many other particularly good options that stand out to me. So maybe I'll just ride it through again. We'll see. Let's move on. Middlesbrough-Liverpool. Okay, so this game's quite interesting because Middlesbrough, let's not forget, are extremely low rep. I think they're 12 still, maybe 13. Either way, they're quite low rep. And Liverpool attacked away yesterday. It happened yesterday to me, I'm recording, on the stream, away to Bolton, who I believe are either the same or higher rep than Middlesbrough. At least that's what the comms told us they did. So Liverpool should come out to attack this game and Middlesbrough should attack. So I would expect, similar to the Bolton-Liverpool game, which had a lot of shots for both teams, that it's quite an open offensive game, which is a strange thing to say for a Liverpool team. So, yeah, I think their players are definitely options. I don't think clean sheets will happen here. I know there wasn't that many goals in the game, but it was certainly very open against Bolton. So the likes of Rickard and Selakovic has signed there now, I think I saw. So probably straight into the team. Interesting to see where he goes. Maybe he goes in Rickard's place. Maybe he goes in midfield. Not sure. But as a one-off game, this game looks pretty good for attacking talent, is all I'll say. Obviously, if you've got Southgate, then you play him because he's got a chance of bonus at home. Same for Hippier, just bonus and penalties, you play them. But attacking-wise, both teams look pretty good to me this week. Richie Partridge came back into the team when fit. He's quite cheap. He's on a wing spot for a team you'd expect to be top six. And it looked like he was taking free kicks and corners on the stream. No guarantee that carries on, but that instantly brings him, you know, into my thought process. It's kind of like the Petkov or the Tiato or whatever, but playing for a team that should be doing better than both of those. I think the caveat is he's probably not nailed. We know that Liverpool midfielders rotate a lot. He's been injured for a long time, so his attributes won't be as good as they should be. They'll go up very quickly if he plays. So he played this week. Let's say he plays the next two or three. It won't take long before they start getting back to where they should be. So yeah, I think the caveat is he's probably not 100% nailed, but he's probably cheap enough and good enough where I think you can take that on the chin with the odd miss. It's kind of like the Pires situation for Arsenal, I guess, but at a cheaper price, and obviously with the promise of a few more set pieces. So certainly one to think about. I wouldn't say just bring him in this game despite me saying Liverpool's attack's good. It's probably another one just to monitor. But certainly food for thought in the future. Man City versus Coventry. For me, I can't see anything else but just a comfortable Man City win in this game. I know Man City have got very low rep, you know, same as Coventry. But Man City are just a better team. You know, one chop should be absolutely great here, I think. Yeah, Hedman's been ridiculous every single game, so maybe he can cause an upset here. But I think just putting Man City down for a comfortable 2-0, 3-0, maybe Coventry get a goal, is pretty smart. I know Man City have actually got a lot of injuries, I think. Obviously, this is all pre-stream, pre-leak. Bear that in mind, guys. But they seem to get a lot of injuries when we were on the stream, so lots of subs happened as a result. It doesn't make too much difference because the team obviously sets up in the same way. But if the quality of the replacements is really poor, then obviously that is going to lessen it somewhat. I mean, you do see it in, for example, Mokoko ran Sims of the Man United versus Ipswich game with a rep side, and they dropped off about sort of 0.8 of a goal or something. So, you know, their attacking output is dampened somewhat, even if the tactic stays the same. But we'll see. So it's hard to gauge that one, but I would still put them down for probably like a comfortable 2-0 unless their team's, you know, utterly decimated. Arsenal versus Man United. This might be strange for some people because obviously Arsenal have been dreadful in our game and Man United have pretty much won every game, I think. But usually in these big top-of-the-table clashes, when the team is away, that is good, so Man United, and it is to another good team. They play in a very defensive setup, and Arsenal's reputation is still high enough for that to occur. And as a result, the most common score, I think, from these games is usually just 1-0 to Arsenal. It'll be like 1-0 Arsenal, 1-1, 2-1 Arsenal. You know, obviously Man United can win any game, any time, but I would have put Arsenal down for a win or draw, but it's going to be low scoring, I would have thought. You know, game state can change these things. Red cards can change these things. Of course they can. You know, to game state by the timing of the goals and stuff. But I think over many sims, we'll probably see that. Arsenal were just narrow victors in this one. And Henry usually turns up for the big games. I think he's got big games, 20 or something, in the background. Now, how much that does is up for debate anyway. But it's there. It was intended to work. So, you know, all we can say is that we kind of hope it does. I think people are probably sick to death of Henry by now, but it would be extremely typical, you know, after his early sub last week, and then people seeing he's playing Man United, for him to be removed. And these are the games where he usually fires. It's not a position I'd want to be in, you know, whether to keep him or not. But having a look at all the other fixtures, you know, if you're thinking, oh, I'll do Henry to Viduka, you're taking out a home striker for an away one in a game he usually does pretty good. You know, I'd probably be tempted to keep him one more week. I really would. But that's for you guys to decide. And I can understand, with the amount of pain you've suffered, why you might just want to bin it off and forget it ever happened. Aston Villa Spurs. Okay, this game, probably similar to the Sunderland Spurs game, actually. Sunderland and Villa are quite comparable, I think, in terms of reputation. Both, like, good 11s on paper. Sunderland a little better offensively in general, I think, and Sunderland a little better offensively, but a little worse defensively in terms of clean sheets. The defenders still get bonus and stuff than Villa. So car nearly run me over again. But I'd expect a similar sort of game where the home team's going to push. Probably be able to score two goals. Spurs aren't great away from home. Could be more than that. I think that could be a few goals in this game. So your likes of Hadji, Hendry, you know, Dublin if he plays, Angel, all good picks this week. Rufus, etc. You're going to play them, the home centre-backs. But Spurs have got Wood up front. He's got high off the ball. They can score as well. Villa do have a knack of shipping one goal. And obviously, if you've got Wood in your team, I would not be benching him. Because if they do score, I think it's very likely to be him. They've now sold Selakovic, so it'll be interesting to see what the dynamic is up front there. It could be Rushbury just comes in as a front two, which does slightly worse than Wood, I think, just because now he's not up front on his own, which the engine likes. But Rushbury's probably more suited to a striker than even Selakovic, even though Selakovic is obviously a very good player in the game. He's not really supposed to be used as a centre-forward, I don't think. Certainly I never used him there. But yeah, well, interesting to see. They have got, you know, a few other, like, Armstrong people on the bench, or maybe they push Sean Wright Phillips into an AMC attacking role. If that was to happen, if he was to go into the Selakovic role as AMC, he did very good there last season. I don't think his stats are brilliant, Sean Wright Phillips, by any means, but he seems to have a knack of scoring, so that's another one to look out for. Or they could be anything, you know, maybe they stick Darren Anderson there and stick, you know, let's see. We just don't know at the end of the day. Leicester versus Bolton. This is another interesting one because Leicester are so funny, aren't they? They generally are pretty terrible and don't score, but then they occasionally have great games, like against Blackburn when we didn't need them to get 3-0. I think in season one they sort of won two games like 5-0 or maybe it was 5-4 or something. It was just crazy, like back to back. They scored like 5 and 4 goals in like a double and Scowcroft went mad. Like, it can happen. This is champ man. Like, especially home teams, they can just pop off and score a load of goals. But this game does scream goals to me. I think Bolton are going to have a good time as well. I believe... I haven't watched the videos yet because I've been very, very busy working. Connexton did some videos and some people told me that Pedersen was going crazy in this one, which is a surprise because he's away. But it's not a surprise because it's Leicester. So my overriding feelings are that it's just going to be pretty much a goal fest, and therefore Bolton assets, who are on this nice run, are still good to come in on now, I think, as well, and target Leicester. Hard to make a transfer for an away player, but if it suits your team, like I say, this week doesn't scream points all over the place, so maybe it's a week where you can sort of allow yourself that. I wouldn't get any Leicester players personally, but obviously if they're at home to Bolton and it's a goal fest, then they could do absolutely fine here. McAnuff should be back, I think. You know, it's a 4-4-2 versus wing backs. He's got crazy high dribbling. He will be playing against Gardner. It's almost like the dribble off battle there. So that'll be interesting. Yeah, you're gonna have to play him, aren't you, in this one? Right, Newcastle Norwich. This is the standout fixture probably of the calendar in terms of your captain and Alan Shearer, isn't it? I don't know if Dyer's back or what the situation is with the rest of their players, but you're going to want to play all your Newcastle players in this game, whoever you've got, obviously. Bernard left wing, even an outside captain choice, I guess, because he's OOP and he apparently can score. Feels a bit risky to me because Newcastle's defence isn't the best, and I genuinely think Bernard shouldn't be scoring as many goals as he is, but it's happening, so... certainly consider, you know, it's a crazy differential at the end of the day. His point ceiling is massive as a result, so it's if you're really worth, you know, really one of these people who likes punting, then it could be worth it. But VCs on him and stuff like that will probably be happening, so decent. Shearer, it's annoying if he's got Maddison and Bernard either side as the wingers. You really want a decent left winger, and you really want Kieran Dyer back to improve his potential, but I don't think he's going to suffer enough to not mean he is the number one guy. Even if the sim data is not looking particularly great for Newcastle in this, or even Shearer's not coming out particularly great, personally I'd just ignore it. I think that he is the standout pick, and being on penalties just means that he can have one of those crazy games where he scores 4 or 5, and these are the kind of games where that can happen. You know, Shearer ends up scoring 15 to 20 goals across the season quite consistently. When you look at his games, yeah, he can score all over the place, but he might score 2 or 3 in this one, and that's why I think he's blanked for like 2 or 3 weeks in a row. I've had him in my team, he hasn't really done much. He's probably going to make that up in this game, I'd imagine. If you don't have him in your team, you know, this is the thing with Champ, where yes, he could not score, he could backfire, he could not do anything. Maybe you've taken -4s and -8s to get him in your team because you're so scared about not having him, but the hall is kind of signposted here, and I would probably try my best to make it happen. Like I say, the reason being, he can score 4 or 5, and if you're not on him as captain, it could be quite dangerous. If it fails, it fails. You know, at least you've covered it off and you didn't lose ground, and that's part of the nature of fantasy these days, isn't it? Which I'm not the best at anyway, in general. But it's covering, you know, I just say, well, I'm stubborn, or he's not going to score, I'm just going to try and ride it out. And apparently that is what is going to happen, but it doesn't always mean that it will happen. Because more likely is that the good player does well. Sorry, and the motorist distracting me.
Where have we got?
Norwich players, obviously, yeah, not going to get much, are they? Let's move on. Everton and Chelsea. Now, I feel this game is quite similar to the Chelsea-Blackburn game, actually, in that Everton are quite reasonably resolute. You know, they've got a decent side, and obviously they're playing at home to Chelsea, where Chelsea are, you know, away from home, not the very best of teams. They usually keep it tight. You know, they can win them, but usually it's sort of goals to both teams. Sorry, bear with me, guys. Sorry about that. I don't know why this isn't working. I'm trying to get through a security gate and it's not having none of it. Anyway, what was I saying? Okay, yeah, Everton, Chelsea. Yeah, both teams to score looks good to me. And you just play all the players that you've got in your team. I wouldn't be in a rush. I mean, most people have got triple Chelsea. I wouldn't be in a rush to transfer them out for any particular reason. You know, Carboni was a bit of a letdown, but it doesn't mean you just have to take him out. I think their run's still pretty good. You know, the people that you probably want to switch him to around his price don't massively appeal. I mean, I can see the Aimar one potentially, but I probably wouldn't do that. Man United are away, wouldn't consider that. So Chadwick. So I think you just leave him in and play and hope.
Bradford and Watford. Now, this is the first time, I think this is now going to be the second game, actually, where Watford are away since their new manager came in, and that usually means they're going to get spanked. Bradford, obviously not known for their massive goal threat, but I have a feeling they're going to do pretty damn well in this game. And the Simdate is going to say that, I would have thought. Goals all over, maybe Watford can get one or two, just by the nature of being so attacking. But your likes of Jess, Hyde, you know, these are probably top tier picks this week. You know, Hoekstra, anyone you've got, even Gunnarsson. You know, these are the games where Watford are legendary and are conceding 100 goals over the season. They usually come when they're away from home. So even against terrible attacks, the Bradford players actually are pretty good. If you were thinking like a free hit team this week, you probably would want to put one or two of Bradford players in your team, I would imagine. So, yeah, hopefully that can live up to expectations. Ipswich-Sunderland's probably one of the harder games to call, I think. Ipswich at home, usually pretty solid. You put them down again for one or two goals. Sunderland away from home can be all over the place. They can still batter teams, you know, just because they're so good offensively. I think Phillips should be back. It's not a terrible game for Phillips by any means, or any of their players. You know, Arca, Teal, if he's fit, should be fine, but it's an away game at the end of the day. So you'd probably only put them down for maybe one goal, maybe two, and Ipswich probably to win it, I'd say. So probably like a 2-1 to Ipswich sort of feels about right, but it's a hard game to call that one, actually. Okay, I think that's everything. Sorry it got a bit messy at the end there with me trying to do my stuff, but enjoy this game week, guys. Obviously, take on board some of the sim data that comes out, what the guys are running for us, which I'm highly appreciative of, and make your decisions. I haven't really looked past this game week at the moment because I just haven't had time to, so I'm sure there's some players, you know, if you've got a move in your team that you're weighing up for a hit and you're not really sure, but then you look at and that player's got a nice run of three or four games after it, then, you know, I think in this game, it's usually worth it. Enjoy, guys, and I shall see you on the next one.